Today's text, scripture reading, is 1 John 5. First John 5, 14 and 15. And the word says, "And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it." Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for the scripture reading, and thank you, Kyla and Tamara, for singing. Amen. They surprised me. It's first time I'm hearing. She sang long time ago, but this is a beautiful song. You sing it again, okay? It's a beautiful song. I'm blessed to be here today again. Thank you for the service this morning, your service, your participation, and your presence here. We are about 21 strong today, amen? We are doing well, number 20. Sometimes we are 10, less than that. But I thank God. I've been away. Sometimes it's hard to get everything together because of the other commitments that come in the church, and I'm trying to see how much I can be able to make my way here. Elder Donovan, if we can work it out that I can be twice a month, I would be glad. If I ask some of you what's my second name, you cannot tell me. Or I don't remember your name or your names as well, because we don't meet as often. Another problem that comes when you don't meet often, remember, we all come from different backgrounds. My accent may be difficult for you to get it. And I can get difficulty getting your accent as well. And so, the solution to that problem is usually meeting so often. Because you get used to the other person's way of speech. And then I can easily get you. I remember when I came into the church here, or when I came to Cornerstone Church, I was not getting what people were saying. They equally could not get what I am saying. But as we kept together, they started getting to hear me, and I got to hear them. So the only way, Donovan, to clear out the problem of those who have a challenge of getting to hear what I'm saying is to come here more often. Amen? And so I get used to you, you get used to me. Kathy Eves, you have no problem with the way I speak. You know me well, you understand me very well. And Kenny, they were in Cornerstone. Because that is a common problem. And sometimes it's very easy for you to think of the other person, "I'm not hearing you," but you forget that he or she's not doing what? Hearing you when you speak also. So we should always look at it in a balanced way. Instead of complaining, let us pray that God clear out the problem, that we can hear each other. And so I have adjusted quite a number of things from the way I used to do my preaching way before I came to the United States. I never used to use a lot of PowerPoint. I started using it because when you don't hear me, you can actually do what? read it. That's how I started doing it. So everything that probably I'll speak, most of it will be here. So that's how I started engaging in PowerPoint all the time. Secondly, I was pretty fast. I get excited. I had to slow down and go a little bit slower and less excitement. And then, you know, that will get us to each other. I took one elder to the mission trip in Kenya. And he sat on one Sabbath when I was preaching. He thought I'm a different man, because I was preaching different from the way I preach here. And he was like, "Pastor, I think this is what we want over there." I say, "No, you cannot follow up, because I'm fast and I get excited." But anyhow, I believe that meeting together as often as possible, getting to know each other more, that can solve the problem. Because I really want us to minister to each other, to be blessed by each other's presence. Because I believe it's God's design that I be part of this congregation in such a time as this. Therefore, keep praying for me as I pray for you too. I'm happy also with my family today. Most of the time, they are either in Cornerstone. She serves in the children ministry. We don't have teachers in the children department. She helps in the children department. When she's not there, someone has to combine two classes or three and bring them together so that she can be away. So that's a challenge. And my son was to be here with us. Equally, today he's in charge of the PA system, the sound system, because the guy who does that went out. So that's how my family gets. I cannot be able to go wherever I want with them all the time. It's a challenge. Always we want to be with our families, but the needs are greater. So pray that God sends the laborers. The harvest is great, but the laborers are what? A few. Even now, I strongly believe, Elder, that there are people in this community who are looking for the truth. And we got it. It needs laborers, people who can do, reach out. We don't know who they are. The Holy Spirit is working. And one thing I want to commend today is the distribution of the book, Great Controversy. Thanks, Kelly, and Sarah, for the plans, and the church participating in spreading the book Great Controversy as the leaves of autumn. Let everyone have that book in their hands. This is the best time for this book to be out. One of the projects I'm thinking also for Cornerstone Church is distribution of the Great Controversy to any of the neighborhood. There is something I discovered. We have an organization called Salmon View, recommended by the conference to help us do evangelism in specific zip codes. And with the coming of Rand's kit, we have gone on social media and online, and our specific zip codes around Cornerstone Church will be receiving, bombarding them with the advertisement on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and some YouTube things coming up, and the reminders, automated reminders of people, "Hey, tonight we have a meeting." So technology has a way of reaching out. I will recommend and encourage, if there's a way, you young guys, my friend there, if you can work on a YouTube account for the church, make sure we have got something actively working for a church services. And, you know, yeah, my friends are here. Let's improve things technologically. Our church can do more than what we're doing. There's so many things right now online with AI that we can use for the work of God and touch people around here. People are currently having their gadgets in their hands all the time. This is the thing. And for us to reach people, we must use this as a way of accessing it. And so the church is working. There's so many things I've realized that can be helpful. And so let's continue praying and doing our best in reaching out to the people in our congregation, in our community. I remind you again, we have come meeting coming up towards the end on 27th of May in Lincoln, Nebraska. If you love the come meeting, it's another good time to meet with all the Adventists in Kansas and Nebraska, all Adventists gather together and feel the love and the power of God's people together. It can be very encouraging. If you have never been there in a come meeting, plan to join us there. To start, let me pray with you again. Our Lord and our Father in heaven, in such a time as we live now in the world, we need you more. Teach us to pray, for it is through prayer we can access the blessings of heaven. And today, may you speak to us one more time. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From Adam and Eve, from the time they fell in the Garden of Eden and had a broken relationship with God, to the present time, Satan has been making claims that God cannot be trusted. In fact, our faith is partial. We don't fully trust God. The devil has worked through the years to create that thinking in our mind that God cannot be trusted. God is withholding something from us, that he cannot be trusted, that he is not enough. We got to do something on our own. We have to do something as much as we trust God. So we don't put all our trust in him. That is a lie that the devil has placed in the minds of many believers. This message is specifically or especially important, what I'm going to share with you, in this digital generation where the gadgets and connectedness promise people a type of spiritual nirvana, if you understand the Indian nirvana, a higher state in which we control our fate instead of bowing to the God who created us and who made us. Technology has taken people to another level. You know, I'm shocked the way AI can make things so real. You don't need anything else. In fact, many people are losing jobs because of AI. If I need anything, I just ask AI, tell me this. It will give you the details, even the words to speak. Yesterday I was asking AI, I want to buy a house. Can you guide me? Say, okay, what's your salary? Okay, where do you want this house? Okay, there are two houses being sold. He gets me the Google map. This house is being sold this much, and this is what your argument will be. For you to get this house, tell them this. He's telling me exactly what I should argue to get that payment done. And you know, you can lend money from these people, These are a little bit difficult to get, but you can try this other guy. It's kind of somebody is communicating with you exactly to what you want to ask. AI. We live where people are no longer bowing to God who made us. We had a meeting as pastors discussing the use of AI for sermon creation. Sermon. Is it replacing the Holy Spirit? Is AI replacing what God does? I want you to imagine this way. Can you imagine the same way AI speaks to you? It's the same way God does what? Speak to us and trust. We trust AI, so can we trust God when we pray to him? That he can actually respond the same way with such a clarity to our lives. Now, we are bowing to the gadgets, taking the place of God instead of listening to God. Now is the time to reject Satan's lies and to go back. Reject Satan and go back to the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3. This is the time to turn back. The one who has loved us with an everlasting love. That's why when you go back years when Jesus was on earth, he did his work, but the best thing that the disciples could ask him is, Lord, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Remember, they were looking at what is happening in the community. John the Baptist was having his disciples. They were doing great works for the Lord. They were prayer for men. They were asking, and God was answering prayer, and they saw the miracles and wonders. The disciples of Jesus, on the other hand, were also looking at Jesus. They desired to be like the disciples of John the Baptist. They realized John's disciples were more prayerful. They came to Jesus and said, Jesus, teach us also how to do what? How to pray. A request that they had. Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus responded to their request. His prayer lesson in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13, you will find the prayer request Jesus was given by his disciples. The Lord's Prayer is what we find in Luke chapter 11. Jesus teaching them on how to pray. And in this request, there were three parts. The Lord's Prayer, the parable of the friend coming at midnight in that same request, and then the continual request for the Holy Spirit. I want you to see the connectedness here. Jesus says, now this is how you pray. While he's answering that, he says, now there's a story of somebody, a parable of a friend coming at night, visiting another one. And then he says, the need for continual request for the Holy Spirit. That is the bottom line of our message today. Asking according to God's will. Therefore, here, in verse 5 to 9 to 8, visitors arrived at the man's house late in the evening. And he had nothing to serve the visitors. Because of his need, he immediately goes to the neighbor and he explains to him that he has nothing. I don't have, it's midnight, you want your neighbor, I got visitors in the house. I have nothing to give, they're hungry. I have nothing to give them. And he asks for bread. He continues to ask until he finally receives the bread. He keeps, please. The other guy was in his blanket. No, I think it's late, man. I don't want to wake up now. Can we talk tomorrow? He says, please, give me something. I have to feed them. They're hungry. Finally, the man wakes up, says, okay, fine. Let me wake up. I'll get it to you. Now he has bread, the bread of life. Now he can share with his guests. this connection there. Now, Jesus links this parable where the problem is, I have nothing. That's where Jesus is connecting something with the prayer, asking God. This man had nothing. That's where the problem is. He goes to the neighbor to ask for bread. Jesus connects it that with the request for the Holy Spirit, he says, therefore, I say to you, ask and it will be done what? Given to you. Now I want to connect this parable with the Holy Spirit request. You have nothing. We have nothing. And he's saying, we have to go to the neighbor, our Lord Jesus Christ, and ask for bread, bread of life, and he will give us something to share with others. And at that point in time, he says, therefore I say to you, ask and it be given you. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I want you to know that he emphasized 10 times that we should ask for the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13, 10 times he kept saying, ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. 10 times in that parable while he's talking about prayer. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks will be opened. If a son asks for bread, now listen to that. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, who will give him a stone? Or ask for a fish, give him a serpent instead of fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? What is easier? Giving your child bread or getting the Holy Spirit from God? What is easier? If your child asks for bread and you ask the Holy Spirit, what's easier to get? Both are easier, but look here, both. But there's something more, it's much more easier. Which one is that? The Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to get the point here. It is obvious from human understanding, if your son and your daughter, your child, comes and says, I need an egg. I need some food. Bread actually means food. I need some food. And you have food. You don't even think that child is hungry and he or she needs food. There is food. You quickly get the food and have some food. He says, if we were evil, in other words, in our human evilness, in our sinfulness, we are not mean when it comes to giving our children food. We actually share willingly and with love. How much more is our Heavenly Father willing to give us what? The Holy Spirit if we ask. The question is asking. Asking has been the problem. If we ask once. So we are hungry throughout. We don't have food. But when we ask continually, that's why there's a question of continual infilling of the Holy Spirit is what we need as Christians. We need that. And we miss that one, there's a problem. In these few verses, Jesus uses the verb ask 6 times. I want you to analyze something here. Six times he uses the word verb, the verb ask six times. Then he replaces the word ask and emphasizes seek two times. And seeking is an action word. Seek is an action word. And two times with knock, also an action word. It's same thing. Knock, seek. It's the same thing, but it's replacing those words. He's saying, go for it. Go for it. None of them is denied if we ask it. The emphasis here is the Holy Spirit. God wants to give us the Holy Spirit because we cannot survive without the Holy Spirit when we are the children of God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to drive us through this world and the challenges we face. He knows that. If you look at that, it takes some action. Doesn't he clearly show us that we have to take action in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Number one, we need to take action to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Then the last ask is used in a continuous tense. If you do a little bit of Greek study, it's a continuous tense when he's asking the last part of that. And that means what? That means that we aren't to ask only once. Don't ask once. He says, ask for this Holy Spirit, not once. Rather, ask continuously. Here, Jesus does not only make asking as a matter of urgency, but implores us to ask continually. In other words, for us to seek the Holy Spirit or to receive the Holy Spirit is an urgent thing for us to survive as Christians. But it's not only once. Let's keep on doing it. Morning, evening, in the midday or in the middle of the night when you wake up, just ask for the Holy Spirit. He also wants us to awaken our desire for the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have the desire for the Holy Spirit every time. With this heartfelt invitation, this urgent invitation shows us Jesus' conviction that we will be missing something crucial if we don't continually ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He was clearly calling our attention to the fact that we absolutely need the Holy Spirit. In this way, he wants us to continually receive the rich blessings of the Holy Spirit. So if you look at the whole, what I'm trying to share with us this morning, is that we need the Holy Spirit of God. That's the power that drives a church, that drives evangelism, drives our Christian experience. We need that continually, not giving up. Don't ask only once. On a Sabbath, on the morning, let us continually ask for the Holy Spirit. That's the power that we'll need to work for the Lord. In Christ Object Lessons, there's a statement there that God does not say, ask once and you shall receive. He bids us ask to unwearyingly persist in prayer. In other words, you don't ask once. Ask persistently that we may continually be filled. The question is not that God has to be pleased to give us the Holy Spirit, to see how desperate we are, how hungry we are. We have fasted, so we are so hungry. God, have mercy. But God wants to continually fill you. Not once. He wants continually fill you with the Holy Spirit. Not once. Because that's how we can overcome the powers of the lies the devil is placing in the world today. The persistent asking brings the petitioner into more earnest attitude and gives him an increased desire to receive the things for which he asks. He prepares you to receive richer blessings from him. Jesus then gave three examples. He gave three examples which show a behavior that is unimaginable even for sinful human fathers. He wanted to show us that it is even more unimaginable that our Heavenly Father wouldn't give us the Holy Spirit when we ask. It's unimaginable for a father to deny a child bread or give a scorpion instead of a fish. It's unimaginable. And so it is unimaginable for the Heavenly Father not to give us the Holy Spirit if we ask. That's how wonderful our God is. He's trying to drive something to our heads that we have the Holy Spirit in our disposal. The power we desperately need in his work, in our lives. Jesus wants us to be sure. He wants us to be sure that we will receive the Holy Spirit when we ask. I think that's the point. You don't have to doubt it. In fact, one thing you have to be sure, honestly from your heart, when you kneel down and ask God, give me the Holy Spirit, you don't finish that prayer, let your will be done. You finish that prayer by saying, thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit. You have him by asking. You don't have to think twice. You don't have to wait for tomorrow. You just thank him. Affirmation of faith in God that he has given you the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants us to know. With this promise and other promises, we can ask in faith and know that we have already received what we requested. This special invitation shows us that according to Jesus, something essential is missing when we don't persistently ask for the Holy Spirit. According to Jesus, something is wrong when we cannot ask persistently for the Holy Spirit. He wants us to continually experience the rich blessings of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants us to experience every day. The Holy Spirit is God's greatest gift, the gift which brings all other gifts with it. I usually say this: if you have the Holy Spirit, you got everything. Everything from God is the richest gift God has bestowed upon us. It comes along with all other blessings when you receive him. It is only given to those who express their desire for this gift and appreciate it. Once you desire it and you appreciate this gift, God says he will give it to you. So we do not have the Holy Spirit because we don't desire the Holy Spirit. We don't appreciate the Holy Spirit. We don't ask for the Holy Spirit. So God has given us an opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He will be given to those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus. Let me give you this again. It starts here. Surrender your life to Jesus. Surrender your life to Jesus. What does that mean? Have a one-on-one with him. Say, I come to you, Lord. Forgive me. Come unto me and I want to walk with you. I want to live a life that honors you. Give me strength. Guide my life that I may do your work. Surrender, say, when you finish that, say, thank you, God, for forgiveness. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for giving me a second chance. Thank you for allowing me to be where I am today. And then walk ye in him by daily asking for the Holy Spirit. And so he says, he will be given, the Holy Spirit will be given to those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus. Continual commitment. Not one day. You were baptized? Yes, you were. You are an Adventist? Yes, you are. But is there a continual commitment in that? Or you are on and off, depending on the situation, how things go? Our commitment based on emotions. It's time that we have a commitment from our heart, regardless of what happens around us. Jesus wants our all heart that we may receive the Holy Spirit. It's Him we desperately need. Church, commitment is expressed this way, by a yearning for God. Whoever thirsts, a yearning desire, trust in God. Commitment is by trusting in God. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, trusting God will get you the Holy Spirit. Then how do we commit ourselves? Complete surrender is a result of trusting in God. Complete surrender to God. Don't hold back. Surrender it all to Him. Placing your whole life at God's disposal. Following God in everything. Listening to God, whatever you want to do. Follow God. Those who obey Him, He says, He will receive the Holy Spirit. We confess every known sin. If we confess our sins, He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is commitment to God. Give up their own way, go God's way, and do this according to God's will. Repent and be baptized. Give yourself fully to Him. Commit completely to Him. Not to plan anything wrong. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear when I pray. If you know something in your heart that you are uncomfortable with, you know it's not right with God, surrender that to God. And He says He will hear when you ask for the Holy Spirit. And then it says, realize and admit to your own great, to our great need. I have nothing. Admit you got nothing. Continually ask for the Holy Spirit. This is our prayer today as I close. Lord Jesus, I completely say yes to all the prerequisites for receiving the Holy Spirit. I sincerely ask that you now today fulfill them in me. Our wonderful God is even there for us in fulfilling the prerequisites. The Holy Spirit is the source of our fulfilled life. May God give us the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Guide us especially now that we live in a very difficult time and things are getting more harder and dark with time. We need the Holy Spirit. I want us to pray for the Holy Spirit right now. And you desperately need that Holy Spirit. Open your heart that He may come into your life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for the blessings that you want to bestow upon us. As your sons and daughters have listened to your word, helping us to understand why we desperately need the Holy Spirit. May you touch our hearts, soften our hearts, break the walls in our hearts, loosen the hardened hearts, O God, replace our hearts with the hearts which are soft of flesh, not of the stone, that we may receive the things of God. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Let Him guide our minds, our thoughts, our actions, and go before us even when we go from door to door, talk to friends, and we touch the gadgets that we have, that many may realize that you are still the Lord who saves. I pray for our community here in Harper. There are men and women who you are speaking to ahead of us. Father, as they receive this call in any given time through any means, guide them to your church that they may hear your voice, they may surrender their lives to you. We pray for every family represented here today. We pray that you may reach to every family, the spouses, the children, the grandchildren, who are wayward, who are not going in your direction. Oh, Father, we pray, send your Holy Spirit to convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that they may come back to you, God. We pray for your presence in the mission work, in our conference in the United States, and the entire division, God, that your Holy Spirit may move in a mighty way, as your word promises, that in the last days, the Holy Spirit will move, wonders will be done, and mighty things will be happening. Many will come to you. That is our prayer in Harper Church. Let this be deep in our hearts, not only today, but continually. For we pray in Jesus' name, and let the church say, Amen. Amen. God bless you all.